بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Yet again, their responsibility has fallen on my shoulder to translate the title of this what is going to say. So I take it short paragraph by short paragraph, that makes it easier for both of us. Ayatollah Nusbah started his speech by offering his sincere congratulations on the 21st Hajj anniversary, or the 21st anniversary of the success of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. And he has asked the Almighty Allah to grant us all the blessing and success, just to be able to see more success for the revolution. Islamic Revolution of Iran as an historical event is a multifaceted, or has a number of dimensions, and it requires a long time for him or anybody else to be able to look at all aspects of this revolution. However, for the sake of simplicity, he intends not to go through what has already been repeated or has already been discussed, and take one small angle from the revolution. If we go back to the initial time or the initial period where the revolution started and how it continued for a period of 15 years approximately, and the events that led to the success of the Islamic Revolution after 15 or 16 years, and the incident that took place after the success of the Islamic Revolution, makes a history of approximately 35 to 40 years. And it requires a long period of time to be able to analyze these long span of history completely. If we go even further and include within our analysis the factors that are considered to be the roots that brought or polarized people and gradually developed or created the environment where the Islamic Revolution succeeded, it becomes even extreme more difficult for one to be able to look at all factors in such a short space of time. Analysis of this history becomes extremely relevant for the youth, those who were not born before the revolution, or even if they were born, they were too young to remember anything about the factors that led to the revolution. It's extremely important for them, but it's luckily there are detailed analysis of history written and recorded that they can resort to and look at the reference, probably in greater detail than what Ayatollah Nusbah is going to mention in his speech. What Ayatollah Nusbah intends to do, he proposes to develop an angle to look at the revolution, its roots and factors that led to success, from the Quranic viewpoint. He says that if we intend to analyze history, and if we intend to be critical or to look critically at the factors that led to the success of this revolution, it probably would help if we were to somehow focus this analysis and look at it purely from the Islamic, from the Quranic point of view, to see how Quran is projecting or presenting the idea of revolution, or whether revolution comes anywhere close to the standards and the criteria laid down in the Holy Quran. Ayatollah Nusbah points to the fact that the Holy Quran is unique in a sense that it presents concepts in the form of stories. The stories of previous nations have been presented in the Holy Quran repeatedly, and we have been asked to look at these stories and learn from them, particularly two aspects, two dimensions of these stories. Number one, the factors that generally lead to the increased blessing from Allah. And number two, concepts or reasons or routes that somehow these blessings will be taken away from them by Allah. And hence, based on this concept, if we were to look at the Islamic Revolution in Iran and truly consider to see what the revolution brought as a blessing for us and how we can protect it so that the blessing continues, and if there are shortcomings, how we can overcome them so that the Almighty Allah will not take these blessings away from us. One of the nations that Quran repeatedly cites their story is Bani Israel, the Jewish nation. In a number of verses or chapters in the Holy Quran, we see that the story of Bani Israel has been narrated again and again. Surah Asraf, chapter Asraf, has a second name called Bani Israel because it deals with the story. The same story, Jewish nation, has been narrated in chapter Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, and a number of others. If we look critically at the style of presentation that exists in the Holy Quran, we see that Quran, when it comes to dealing with the story of nation, particularly when Israel, does not deal with the specifics. For example, in what city they had some problems, who was the leader and how many members were there. But on the contrary, brings in a general issue, constantly reminds Bani Israel and the Jewish nation that remember the blessing of Allah on you when He chose you to be among the chosen tribes or the chosen nation. And again reminds Bani Israel, remember what happened during the Pharaoh's time when you were slave and you were dealt with as slave, and how Allah brought forth the factors that led to your freedom and honor and dignity. If we draw a parallel between the story of Bani Israel, or the Jewish nation, and the blessing of Allah, and the way they were freed from slavery, and compare it to the Islamic Revolution in Iran, we see that there is a striking point that the same concept of through the blessing of Allah, the Iranian nation that was under the kind of problems, the slavery that existed before the revolution. Revolution came and freed that nation from the slavery. And in a number of occasions, we see that it was the blessing of Allah, difficult situation, that the Iranian nation came out of difficulty, although at the time they could not foresee the way out of their problem and predicament. The same thing can be seen in the early history of Islam. Although the incident of the Battle of Badr was fresh in the mind of the early Muslims, however, we see that the blessing of Allah, or His mercy, that through that mercy victory came to the Muslims despite the fact that they did not possess enough military material like swords and horses, and the enemy was threefold, or the enemy were threefold in comparison to the Muslim and well armed. But because of persistence, patience, and somehow prayer that they asked the Almighty Allah to support them in their endeavor, despite all the shortcomings and the weaknesses that existed in the Muslims, they were victorious. And Allah reminded them on a number of occasions that show that it is only if you want victory and honor and dignity, it's only through persistent reliance on Allah and being totally submissive to the will of Allah that can be achieved. Those of you who are aware of the history of the Islamic Revolution, they know, as far as those who were involved in the revolution before its success. They were living under a tyrannical regime that did not allow them any opportunity to move, and they were in a desperate situation. And even after the success, when all the countries in West and East somehow collaborated with each other against the Islamic Revolution, and they considered that the revolution must be totally destroyed, this collaboration created a very difficult situation after the revolution. And it was only through an absolute submission and trust, submission to Allah and trust in Allah, that these difficulties were solved. Despite the fact that the Iranian nation as such, they did not have anything in comparison to the nations that collaborated against them. Those who were involved in the Islamic Revolution before its success, they got involved with total determination and accepting the fact that they had to prepare themselves for it, all kinds of torture and even death that was normally given out by the previous regime to its opponents. Even after revolution, with the starting of the war and destruction in Iran, they were prepared for all eventualities, and they were prepared to go through all difficulties. In certain occasions, we can come across individuals that for the sake of success of revolution, they even gave up on their close relatives and individual family members because they had association with or tendency towards the previous regime. But despite that, they somehow were determined to accept and bear this difficulty and stay away with them with one aim: for the revolution to succeed. Amir al-Mu'mineen in Nakhchivanova states the same concept, or cites the same concept, when he comments and he states that during the life of the Holy Prophet, when we, the early part of Islam, when we went with him and we faced our enemies and we were determined to destroy our enemies, occasionally we came across members of our close relatives that he says our fathers, our brothers and our sons were in the midst of our enemy. What gave us motivation and we would, it was that we submitted. The only thing that we cared about was the will of Allah and nothing else, and we submitted to his command. And for the sake of, for his sake, we were prepared to destroy anyone that came or resisted his words, even if it happened to be our own family members. And when the Almighty Allah found out or realized that in our determination we seek nothing but his submission or his command, he granted us the mercy, the victory that we deserved. We see at the early part of our history there were youth, individuals, young members that gave up on every single member of their community for the sake of success of revolution. At the early part of the Cold War in Iran, you are aware that you have seen pictures of mothers who gladly asked their sons, young members of their community or their brothers, to actually go to the, front. They were encouraged and motivated to go. We also had youth or young members or individuals from families that they had no association with the revolution as such, and they were not somehow adherent to the principles of the revolution. But members of these families, the youth from these families, they tolerated all the abuse as well as all the difficulty. But they, despite all the resistance that they had from their family, they went to the front so that they can defend their country and preserve their honor and dignity for themselves, the society they live in, as well as everybody else. Those who did committed such deeds learned, they gained these spirits, and they somehow learned from the lessons given by Ahlul Bayt on a number of occasions, and used whatever they have learned and the experience they've had in helping them, in polarizing them and motivating them towards the success of the Islamic Revolution. We should learn a lesson from our history, and we should keep this spirit alive. However, Ayatollah Bismar says that it does not mean that we should have war all the time. He qualifies the statement. What he means, that we should keep and preserve such a spirit among us so that the enemy of Islam and the enemy of the Islamic Revolution would not dare to somehow to do anything that harms, intends any harm for the Islamic Revolution. What we have learned is that the strength of the Islamic Revolution, or the strength of those who helped the Islamic Revolution succeed, was their determination, their conviction and belief, their determination that they were prepared to sacrifice for the sake of their belief, everything that they had. And we should do everything possible to preserve such a spirit within our midst so that we can benefit from it. So far, the positive concepts or issues that Quran has cited regarding the life of Jewish nation was pointed to. Now, Ayatollah Bismar moves to a different, the negative aspects. If we were to look again at the way stories of Bani Israel have been presented, but from the negative sense, in the sense their special characteristics that led to their destruction and to their dishonor and to annihilation, we see that the Holy Quran points to two explicit concepts. Number one, they go together, easy life and laziness, or comfort zone, that they were not prepared to come out of it and struggle as endeavor for the sake of their belief. In this context, we see that the Holy Quran says after they were somehow rescued from the clutches of pharaohs and his tyranny, they were asked to go into a city and defend their belief against the tyrannical or unjust rulers of that city. But because they have adapted themselves to this comfortable life, they told the Prophet Moses that you and God go together and fight. Once you have destroyed the enemy, then you come in. And because of that, Allah took that blessing and mercy that He had granted them. And they were granted instead, replaced with dishonor and total annihilation. The Jewish nation, or Bani Israel, after their success against Pharaoh, they wrongly concluded that all the blessing that they received from Almighty Allah was because of somehow special characteristics of their tribe. The ancestors being from Prophet Yaqub, and there were a number of prophets that were Allah had sent among them, a number of prophets. They thought that this special characteristics had given them this attribute of deserving the blessing of Allah no matter what they did. And this is why we see that the Holy Quran points to this fact, and we say that we are the sons and the friends of Allah, and Allah would never, or we are special or close relatives, and Allah would never somehow take away His mercy and blessing from us. Even if there are shortcomings and some problems, it will be a temporary one. Our Allah in reply says that, what is this? Do you have a contract with Allah, some kind of a written contract that you will not be punished for everything, all the sins that you commit? And then we see that Allah reminds them, that indirectly it's a reminder to everyone, to all human beings, that the contract between humanity and Allah is a dual contract. You honor your part of the contract, and Allah will honor His part of the contract. And He has made it clear, repeatedly in the Holy Quran, that as far as the blessing, the continuity of the blessing and the mercy of Allah depends on one's total submission to His will. And if you submit and thank Allah for the blessing that you have received, the blessing will continue and it will be multiplied. If you do not submit and you be disrespectful, there is no special relationship between Allah and anyone. This is an absolute rule that the blessing and the mercy will be taken away. We see that the same mistake being made by Muslims and all their different theological somehow association, the Shi'as as well as the Sunnis, or Muslims and the Shi'as, Arabs and non-Arabs. The Arabs in particular, they thought that because the Holy Quran was revealed in Arabic and they had a special association with the Holy Prophet, they felt somehow they thought that if they commit any sins, there is a special mercy that Allah will grant them and they will not be dishonored or somehow Allah's blessing and mercy will not be taken away. As far as the Shia are concerned, they thought that close association with Ahlul Bayt would protect them. A special association with Ahlul Bayt and Shafa'ah and intercession would somehow save them from any shortcomings that they do. And this is not a new issue. We see that the same issue was presented during the life of our Holy Imam. The fifth Imam, Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi wa sallam, mentions the same thing. That he states categorically that there is no special relationship between Allah and we mortals. The only criteria is the submission to His command. Whoever submits to His command, he is our follower. I mean, he or she is our follower. And whoever is disrespectful and sinful to the command of Allah, he is the enemy of Allah and he will be our enemy as well. So what we have to do, this is an absolute rule that is not going to have any exception. And that rule states that those who have total belief and submission, and they are prepared to struggle and endeavor to preserve the divine message and divine values, Allah will reward them with compassion and mercy. And those who are not prepared to do this, they deserve nothing but dishonor and annihilation. He says that because we are running out of time, he will try to conclude what he has said in few words and presented so that will be the gist of his speech. The first lesson that we learn from the story that he has narrated from the Holy Quran is that we have to concentrate on a very important issue, and that is to learn and understand that the revolution brought, or the benefits that revolution brought for all Muslims, not specifically the Iranians. The Islamic Revolution was the culmination of 14th century of effort by everybody. And the consequence was that after the revolution, no matter where Muslims were from, they felt elated and some kind of honor and dignity was granted to them after this revolution. The response says that it wasn't only Muslims that somehow gained honor and felt elated after the revolution. Other people who belong to different faiths apart from Islam, like Christians, for example, they somehow were encouraged, and to a degree they felt that the Islamic Revolution in Iran has granted them some kind of honor as well. And he cited first what an ex-president of Austria. He has made a comment that before the success of the Islamic Revolution, although he was a Christian believer, but he could not pretend or come out in public and claim that he was some kind of true and strong believer in his own faith. because he was afraid that he might be accused of being somehow reactionary and not in the right mind. The Islamic Revolution gave him the courage to be able to express the way he felt about his religion. The same comment has been mentioned or presented by a number of cardinals and bishops within the Christian faith, that before the Islamic Revolution, we somehow were happy if we saw few individuals that claimed allegiance to our faith. But after the revolution, it gave us courage and motivation to go out and speak to people without hindrance and being afraid that we might be labeled as reactionary in some kind of false fashion or heretic. And there are a number of other stories and examples that because of the time being short, he would not be dwelling upon them. The second issue that we have to remember is that we as Muslims have paid dearly and very expensively, or too much blood has been shed so that we can be able to achieve the success within the revolution. Bearing this in mind, we must understand because we have not given for free, but the high price has been paid, we should appreciate what we have. The third point that Rav Spark cites, that he draws a parallel, he points out that at the same time that the Islamic Revolution was succeeding in Iran, the Afghani nation next door neighbor to Iran, they also rose and they were determined to gain their independence and freedom. But although the Islamic Revolution in Iran succeeded very quickly, but after 20 years we see the Afghani nation still at each other's throat and killing each other. The main difference that existed between the Iranian Revolution and the Afghani ones that somehow facilitated the quick success was the presence of a unified and a very charismatic and extremely able and divine leader for his revolution. And the concept of the Faqih that was able to polarize people so that they can work together for the success of revolution. The absence of this concept and such leadership in Afghanistan has resulted in disunity and the problem that they are facing with it now. Once these factors have been cited, it says that our responsibility, because this revolution is so unique in human history, we have a great responsibility to protect and to save and protect this revolution, as well as its aims and objectives. And not only we should struggle not to let go of the aims and objectives, but we also have to work hard to implement these aims and objectives as much as we can. And we should be reminded, and we should remind ourselves, that it's only through this struggle and endeavor with total determination and reliance on Allah that we will be able to achieve and continue to achieve blessing and mercy from Allah. At the end, he prays to the Almighty Allah so that Allah would elevate and grant blessing to the spirit of all Shuhada and to the soul of Marhum Imam, the leader of the Islamic Revolution. And he's asking Allah to grant us the favor and to be able to discharge our responsibility with regard to this unique historical event, as well as he asked Allah to somehow make us behave in such a way that the hidden Imam will be happy with our own action and hasten his return. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.